You are Locked On Pelicans, your daily podcast on the New Orleans Pelicans, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome to another edition of Locked On Pelicans, the daily podcast covering your favorite team, the New Orleans Pelicans, and NBA as a whole, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. Available on Apple Podcasts, on iTunes, and wherever you get your podcasts from. I'm your host, Jake Madison, Pelicans insider, credentialed member of the media, editor over at LockedOnPelicans.com, and you can find me on social media at NolaJake. Here with you all on Lundi Gras. Yes, we are having a podcast today to recap the up and down weekend, or should we say down and up weekend, for your New Orleans Pelicans as they lose in bad fashion to the 76ers, then rebound with a win, a struggle win, but a struggle win still counts as a win, and the Pelicans desperately need just wins against the Brooklyn Nets on the second night of a back-to-back. We'll recap both of those here in today's podcast, as well as talk about buyout candidates. We know the Pelicans basically have an open roster spot with Emeka Okafor on a 10-day deal. They're likely to keep him probably past this until the buyouts start coming, and we know they've started to. We'll talk about who's on the market, who's off the market, and maybe who the Pelicans might be looking at as a realistic candidate. And we'll cover all that and more in today's edition of Locked On Pelicans. So, programming note before we jump into the recaps here, of course, it is Mardi Gras season here in New Orleans. A couple more days of everything taking in the parade. So, likely no podcast on Tuesday. I'm going to watch the game like Tuesday evening from Monday night. So, we'll probably be back Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. Just no podcast on Tuesday. We got to give people off for the holiday, right? So just keep that in mind, but we definitely have today, and then we'll have Wednesday, Thursday, Friday to go over everything with your New Orleans Pelicans. So, oh boy, the game against the 76ers on Friday, and man, I hope you guys didn't watch this. This wasn't fun to watch a little bit on Saturday, as I skipped it Friday night for, you know, parades instead. Obviously, the importance is there right now. 100-82 in what is probably the worst Pelicans loss of the season, the worst performance for Anthony Davis. And the game started with a 24-4, 23-4 run by the 76ers. And that basically just tells you all you need to know. But we need to break some things down, unfortunately, basically, in this game. The Pelicans went with the new starting lineup of Drew Holiday, DeAndre Liggins, Etuan Moore, Anthony Davis, Nikola Mirotic, with Liggins in for Rondo. And oh my God, that did not go well. Obviously, again, they had 4 points at one point, basically through the first quarter, which Philly won 32-14, and 32-14 looks damn good after the way the Pelicans started. Liggins didn't make a shot on the night, was 0-for-2 in just about 19 and a half minutes. And ironically enough, because of this, Rajon Rondo was the spark off the bench, racking up a bunch of assists in that kind of off-the-bench role. And of course, as we'll talk about in the next segment as we recap the Nets game, you know, Rondo went back to starting. So this was a good idea and maybe, you know, worth trying if you're Alvin Gentry trying to get a spark from this team. But certainly not the way to go. And in hindsight, which is 2020, this looked pretty bad of a move to get DeAndre Liggins out there with the Pelicans. There was no off-ball movement. There were no real passes. A lot of kind of hero ball one-on-one being played. And Joel Embiid took over the game and basically played Anthony Davis out of it. Davis on the night with just 14 points, 8 rebounds, 6 of 19 shooting. And Embiid basically just marked him out. This was a concern, and this is something we're going to probably talk about on Wednesday or Thursday later in the week, and that's kind of to question Anthony Davis. And we shouldn't have to question Anthony Davis, but unfortunately we kind of do. He's kind of opened the door himself for it with his lackluster play since Cousins went down. You know, he puts up good numbers, but it seems like he is not mentally there or doesn't want to be here, and I don't really know what is going on there, but at this point we need to start talking about it. In this game, though, they did sub out Liggins. You got Darius Miller in there to close out the half. So at least they're maybe trying with that lineup of Drew, Moore, Miller, Davis, Mirotic that we all want to see. And that's the change we think should be made. But then you leave that bench dangerously thin, and it's not going to necessarily work as well because you need some guys to score on that second unit. And that's been kind of Darius Miller as the go-to guy with that. There were some highlights for the Pelicans, though, towards the end of the game. Late in the third and the fourth quarter, you did see some nice interplay between Anthony Davis and Nikola Mirotic, with Mirotic giving AD those lobs that we used to see from DeMarcus Cousins, giving some energy to them and showing kind of what could be. Mirotic does fit into a lot of the same roles that DeMarcus Cousins played for the Pelicans, at least with kind of his outside game and ability to stretch the court. And as I've been hammering on here, if you're looking for a big to put next to Anthony Davis, you need one like that. Omer Asik doesn't work because it clogs the paint on offense and forces AD to take a lot of mid-range jumpers, which we've seen and I'm going to be writing about hopefully this week or next week for LockedOnPelicans.com. But now that the space isn't there down low for him to go to work, he's got to rely on that mid-range game that he's had his whole career and has been really good at. But this year, he's largely abandoned that in favor of three-point shooting and playing inside. He talked at the start of the year about shot selection, different things like that, and knows what's a good shot and really worked to improve on that. That's why you haven't seen as much of the mid-range game, which is great. That mid-range jumper, which is basically undefendable at times for him, you haven't seen it nearly as much this year because he's focused on going inside. But he can't right now because the space just isn't there and there's people knowing they can double or triple him, and he's not a good enough passer to kind of pass himself out of those situations. So it leaves us in a weird spot where what should Anthony Davis do? And we should, though, rightfully give him some criticism for not playing well in this game and not being aggressive and the leader that you should want to see from him and that he should be. It's as simple as that. Whether or not he wants to be the leader, whether or not it's fair that he should be that vocal leader or he doesn't want to do it, what have you, he needs to. This is what the team needs. You can see they kind of play by his example. If he comes out firing, this team looks good. If he doesn't set the tone early, and he didn't on Friday, again, Embiid just took him out of the game for the most part. The team kind of went with him, and there's not enough offensive firepower to consistently keep that going. When his energy level drops, it drops the same for the Pelicans as well. Something to keep in mind, because we're about to recap the Brooklyn game some, and he put up a very good stat line. Did he feel impactful for you? And did you see him just kind of vanish for two quarters? Maybe you didn't see him vanish because he just vanishes and you don't see things that are invisible and, you know, that go up in a cloud of smoke. But he did. And that's a big, big concern. And we're going to talk about it more, like I said, later in the week here on Locked On Pelicans. So in the aftermath of the trade deadline, the Cavs remaking their team, all the different players going all different places, make sure you check out the Locked On NBA podcast, once a week podcast, maybe going to more days, by the way, that has you covered with everything going on around the association. Make sure you listen and subscribe to the Locked On NBA podcast. So let's move on to the Brooklyn Nets game, because the less we talk about that Philly loss, the better. That game just atrocious for the Pelicans, as they couldn't shoot basically all night and everything didn't work. Though that's compounded by themselves, again, with bad shot selection, not really moving the ball and making themselves easy to defend. So of course you're not going to shoot well if that's the case. But let's move on to the double overtime win against the Brooklyn Nets, the second night of a back-to-back, 138-128, a game where the Pelicans led by as many as 28 points, yet it still went to overtime. You guys probably already know what happened. That whole second half swoon, particularly in the fourth quarter, instead of the third quarter this time, the Pelicans only put up 16 points in quarter four. You look at the final numbers, and this is inflated because two overtimes will certainly do that for you. When Anthony Davis plays almost 50 minutes, Drew Holiday almost plays 49 minutes, Mirotic played exactly 49 minutes, Etuan Moore plays 44 minutes, Rajon Rondo back in the starting lineup plays 41 and a half minutes, so of course these numbers are going to be kind of higher than normal. Davis, 44 points, 17 rebounds, but we got to talk about him. Had a big first half, 19 points, things look good, you felt good about that. Then put up 15 in the third quarter, and things were looking great. And then vanished in the fourth quarter. He went 0-for-5 from the field, couldn't get to the line, couldn't do anything to try and get this team a victory. And look, it's not like there's people out there that are destroying him, because, again, there's no Joel Embiid here when you've got Jared Allen trying to guard him. So it's kind of just, again, we need to talk about this. I don't think it's a full-on like crisis mode thing we need to look at here yet, but we got to talk about Davis and what's going on, because you've got to expect better from him. He should demand better from himself, and he's not quite doing it. But he finished with a good stat line on the night, 44 points, again, 17 boards. It's tough to complain about that, though he's doing it on, you know, in 15 minutes. But hey, you know, they got the win, so that's the biggest thing here. But part of the reason that 28-point lead got blown was because the Pelicans were only able to score 16 points in the fourth quarter, and when he's only taking five shots, it needs to be more than that. Now, on the night, Brooklyn went hot from three in the second half after being relatively tame from there early throughout the game. It's kind of where they shot themselves back into it as opposed to, when they were shooting themselves out of it in the first half. You go hot from three, there's not a whole lot you can do when the Pelicans aren't shooting all that well themselves. Or if you're an all-star big man and a top five player in the NBA, you go to work inside, which Davis had done throughout the game and just really wasn't able to do on the night. Brooklyn took 59 threes in this game. Again, it's partially because you have double overtime, but the Pelicans took just 24 during that time as well. So not an ideal split in things from what you're seeing from this team. They've got to get some more shooting. We've said shooting was maybe going to be an issue to start the year, and it turns out we were kind of okay with how things were going. They were getting just enough. But a lot of that was bumped up by DeMarcus Cousins and his shooting ability and taking over five threes per game. You know, Mirotić went 2 of 8 on the night. You're going to need more than that from him. Jrue Holiday was just 1 of 2 and trying to do a scoring elsewhere, but wasn't all that effective in it. Again, in basically 49 minutes, the guy scored just 22 points, though hit some big shots there in the second overtime period to try and ice this game and get the Pelicans a win. But you still need to get more shooting. I've said on here before, it's not all about three-point shooting percentage, because if you're not taking a lot of threes, who cares if you're really good at hitting them? There's got to be kind of someone's got to create this metric that basically combines three-point attempts along with three-point field goal percentage, and that's kind of the way you want to determine if you have proper court spacing or not. It's a combination of that. The threat of being able to shoot is just as important sometimes as making the shot, because it opens up the game in other ways, particularly for a big like Anthony Davis, who wants to be playing inside or who should be playing inside. But we've seen him again rely on that mid-range jumper a little too much. Rajon Rondo back in the starting lineup had 25 points. Looking good. Maybe that little benching for a little bit and coming off the bench in that one game was enough to spark him and get some great play out of him. Of course, the defense from him struggled as it has been all year. When Brooklyn's getting back into this game, it's frustrating, you guys. This is a win. I'm getting like frustrated talking about it. This is a win that the Pelicans needed to get. But when you look at some of this stuff, man, there's big problems there. Everything, you know, the turnovers again came up, getting killed in transition with that. We haven't even had to talk about that in a while because there's been so many other problems. But this is a type of game that should make you frustrated. But again, a win's a win, right? So maybe you just kind of get happy that they got it and you move on, because right now I think we can kind of see this isn't a very good basketball team. So the trade deadline is over. Make sure you check out LockedOnPelicans.com. Last Friday, we had our question of the week evaluating how the Pelicans did. Just kind of looking around the league as a whole, as well as what went on with the trade deadline. Get some insight over at LockedOnPelicans.com. So the buyout market is going to be active, and we've already seen some happenings occur there. Joe Johnson, a guy I talked about last week for the Pelicans, going to be signing with the Houston Rockets, which is disappointing for the Pelicans. Marco Bellinelli, recently bought out by the Atlanta Hawks, would have been potentially a good fit here. Kind of a homecoming for him, as he's played for New Orleans before. Going to be signing with Philadelphia. So where does that leave the Pelicans, and who should they turn to as we get closer and closer to the date where you do need to add players before, or if you want them to be eligible for the NBA playoffs? So let's look at some of the names that are expected to be out there, because there's going to be a number of them. And, you know, the Pelicans can go kind of any different direction trying to bring in a player. If they want to go guard, that makes sense. If there's a wing out there they like, that makes sense. If they want to go big, that makes sense. You just need to get the best player available, because the Pelicans could use some more depth at all three of those spots on the court. We know about Willie Reed being bought out. That's a big and a center that could kind of play that Greg Monroe role. You have your court spacer in Nikola Mirotić, and that makes sense there. Now you need someone to do kind of the other side of things, grab some of those boards down low, different things like that. He could definitely be a good fit. Maurice Spates might be bought out as well. He's been spacing the court for a little while now. He's killed the Pelicans with his three-point shooting this year and last year a little bit too. So you could see him being a good fit for that. He's still a big body, still does some work down low. You've got to worry about him maybe falling into a trap of shooting a little bit much. Staying with bigs, Channing Frye is also likely going to be out there. Played under Alvin Gentry in Phoenix. Good three-point shooting. I mean, not a ton much else, but he is a good locker room guy. And as we've seen the energy and effort be very poor since this DeMarcus Cousins injury, that could be a needed thing for the Pelicans, a guy who's going to kind of motivate them, hold everyone accountable for different things in the locker room in between practices and games. So you'd like to potentially see that as well. If they're looking for the guard position, there's going to be a number of people out there. The first name that's going to come to mind, and I don't think this is really going to be it, is going to be Jarrett Jack. He's likely going to get bought out by the Knicks since they added Trey Burke and Emmanuel Mudiay along with Tiakina, their point guard. So it doesn't make much sense to have him there. He's not going to get minutes. You may as well buy him out and kind of get out there to go and play somewhere else. Question is, will he come to New Orleans? And don't forget, he was here coming back off of an injury last season, then re-injured himself and was subsequently waived by the Pels. And it seemed like he was not happy here. If you look at some of his tweets and Instagram after that, I don't know if that's going to be a great thing. Potentially, Isaiah Thomas, and this is the fun one, might be waived. It doesn't sound like that's the plan with him being on the Lakers, but if he is bought out, you know, he wants to be a starter, but could he accept that six-man role here in New Orleans and lead that second unit? That would be the ideal situation, but I think that's going to be kind of wishful thinking. Staying with the Lakers, there's also Brook Lopez, though that buyout looks a little bit more unlikely now. It's being reported that he wants to stay in Los Angeles and with the Lakers the rest of the season, hurting the Pelicans potentially in the buyout front. The other thing we've seen now is that they're not necessarily the most desirable location. They lost out to Greg Monroe. They didn't get Bellinelli or Joe Johnson, instead going to other teams. Bellinelli is going to the Sixers, who are a fringe playoff team at best. Here he'd get much more playing time and potentially feel much better about his playoff chances or doing anything in the playoffs. So it goes to show you that, you know, that's also going to be a factor on the buyout market. But there are also just a lot of names out there. You know, Shabazz Muhammad might be cut by the Timberwolves. Is he going to be out there and available? And would the Pelicans want to bring him in? Because this is a guy who a number of years ago in that draft, really is not who I wanted at all on this Pelicans team, or then Hornets team, I can't remember now, but had no desire for him, being so, you know, shallow at the wing position. I cannot speak today. Being so shallow at the wing position, does it maybe help? And do you get a little bit desperate? He does provide good scoring, really not much else, but that kind of would work in the second unit a little bit, except you've already got Darius Miller there. But then does that create the domino effect of Darius Miller going to the starting lineup? And what about Nerlens Noel? Could the Mavericks maybe change their mind about not releasing him, as they basically have said? He's not getting playing time there. He doesn't look very good. I don't think anyone's going to really have any interest in him. They certainly don't want to bring him back in free agency next year. So maybe cut him now and not have to deal with anything. But they have no need to. They're not contending. So that could also be a difficult situation there. So we're still waiting for kind of these dominoes to fall to find out, you know, who is going to be waived, who's going to be available. Some of them have already happened and the, you know, Pelicans have missed out. They certainly want to try and bring someone else in because I don't think they see Okafor as kind of the long-term fit here. He only got a lot of minutes against the 76ers because of the blowout. He didn't play at all in the double overtime win over the Brooklyn Nets. That kind of does signal the end of his tenure here in New Orleans for the second time. So we'll see. Again, we need to wait for these dominoes to fall, but those are some of the names that all could be, you know, on the Pelicans' radar as these dominoes do start to fall and players start getting waived. So that's going to do it for this edition of Locked On Pelicans. Game tonight up in Detroit as the Pelicans take on the kind of new look Detroit Pistons, who have been on a bit of a resurgence since that Blake Griffin trade. So Blake Griffin might kill the Pelicans again, second time in the past month or so, less than that really, as he did it with in his final game with the Los Angeles Clippers. So it's going to be a tough one here. Pelicans need to get that 1-2 on this road trip is really going to hurt. I guess it's better than 0-3 as this team still limps towards the trade deadline. Like I said, likely no podcast tomorrow, maybe depending on what happens to, I guess, me while I'm out for Lundi Gras and what happens to the Pelicans. If there's any big news, obviously we'll be here to cover it. But if not, enjoy your Mardi Gras day. If you're outside of New Orleans or if you have to work in some capacity, I am so sorry. We'll try not to have too much fun here and stand in solidarity with you. But otherwise, enjoy your Fat Tuesday, and I'm your host, Jake Madison, at NolaJake on Twitter, and I'll be back with you all on Wednesday to talk about the New Orleans Pelicans.